Welcome to the Fort Polk Podcast. This week, we're talking about Earth Day and what it means for us at Fort Polk. We'll discuss some of the upcoming events, how to get involved in, say, sustainability initiatives, and why working together is essential for preserving our planet. Stick around as we dive into these topics and more. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening to this podcast. I'm Jeff England from the Fort Polk Public Affairs Office, and this is the Fort Polk Podcast. This week, we are here talking about environmental, and specifically, we're talking about Earth Day. And I've got Amy Brennan in here with me. Hello, Amy Brennan from the Environmental Office, my favorite office over on that street. On that side of the street over there too. Because you're over there by the cops, so.
Right, I was about to say, you're going to make the MPs rule.
No, I love them too. I love them too. So that's why I had to make it very specific. Mm-hmm. You're on that side of the street.
On 23rd Street, we're your favorite.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Jeff?
Oh, I'm living the dream.
That's what all the gate guards
just
say.
Just lovely. That's where I got it from, actually. I used to say it every once in a while, but then I saw a commercial with Chester Cheetah on it, and he was up on top of all these mattresses, and he goes, "Living the dream." It's like, I like that. So I started.
One of my friends once told me that one of the gate guards, when they came in, said, they were like, "Oh, how are you doing?" He was like, "I am so good. This is my spot. I love this spot."
Those guys are really good, and they do a lot of work out there.
I always feel so bad for them whenever it's super hot or super cold.
Well, they got those big old fans and heaters right there.
True.
You drive past, and it's like, I flew too so to the sun. So the big thing coming up this month in the month of April is Earth Day. When is Earth Day? That's going to be
April 22nd.
April 22nd.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And everyone's heard of Earth Day, and we know it's been around since like 1970. And but what exactly is it, other than Hug a Tree Day?
So yeah, Earth Day is just kind of a celebration of all things environmental awareness and environmental stewardship and sustainability. And there's quite an interesting history to Earth Day.
Oh, really?
What all do you know about the history of Earth Day, Jeff?
What do I know about the history? Yeah. Without Earth, we would not have Earth Day.
True.
Without the sun, we would not have day.
Mm.
Without rotation, we would not have night.
Mm.
Earth Day started with the Earth.
I mean, you're 100% right. Yeah. I mean, that's basically it. I think we're done with the podcast.
No, I'd have to say it has. I would have to say back in 1970 when there was a lot less environmental control or regulations and stuff like that to control how much pollution we put in. We were using things like leaded gas, which puts lead into the air, DDT, which not only was an excellent and probably one of the best insecticides, but it also had a lot of side effects that caused all kinds of problems with the poor animals that ate the insects that died from DDT. So it wasn't the DDT that was harming the animals. It was the effects of eating the insects that died from the DDT.
Right.
So like, that's why we had population problems with the California condor and the bald eagle. And it just worked its way down and it never left the system. So we had to put in regulations and big cities like Los Angeles, New York, and all that had really bad air pollution mm-hmm. all the time. So Earth Day was a day, from what I understand, was a day to come together and actually at least think about these things and see how we can bring attention to it so we can change for the better. And so someday we'll be able to go forward in our lives without a teenager saying, "How dare you?"
Yeah. I mean, you're basically absolutely correct. So back in the 1960s, it was a little bit of like the Wild West as far as, you know, there weren't a whole lot of environmental regulations. Yeah, exactly. In 1962, a marine biologist named Rachel Carson published one of the most influential environmental books of our age called Silent Spring. And in that, she talked about kind of the indiscriminate use of pesticides and how it was really impacting our environment. The name Silent Spring implying that, you know, you're out in the wilderness and you're not hearing any birds or insects because they're being killed off, essentially. And yeah, DDT was one of the biggest issues. And like you mentioned, specifically with like the bald eagle, they would eat things that had eaten these insects. And it would lead to the thinning of shells. So the bald eagle is actually one of our best like endangered species success stories because we went, you know, after banning DDT, the use of DDT, it was able to really rebound those populations. So Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. And yeah, as you mentioned, there was a lot of smog issues in big cities like Los Angeles, New York. And another event that happened that kind of spurred this was in 1969, a Union Oil drilling platform exploded off of the coast of Santa Barbara over in California. And this oil spill dumped over 100,000 barrels of oil into the Pacific Ocean. And it led to the death of thousands of birds and sea lions and all sorts of other marine wildlife. And it was that oil spill that was seen by a gentleman named Gaylord Nelson. He was a U.S. senator, and he was, I think, on a plane, and he looked out and he saw these blobs of oil in the Pacific Ocean from this oil spill, and he was like, this is not okay. We really need to do something about that. So what he did is he wanted to come up with some sort of day, which ended up becoming our Earth Day. But originally he wanted it to be what was called a teach-in. Have you ever heard of a teach-in?
I've heard of a sit-in.
It's kind of similar. It was in the late 1960s. It was popular on university campuses. And
just like sit-ins.
Yeah, just like sit-ins. And just like sit-ins, a lot of them would be kind of, it would be an opportunity for everyone to get together and discuss a specific topic. Often, it started with talking about the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, but Senator Nelson said, hey, we need an environmental teach-in. We need university campuses across the United States to come together and have these big discussions about what we're doing environmentally. And that was kind of where this came into play. So then Senator Nelson got involved a gentleman named Dennis Hayes to be kind of the national coordinator for this environmental teach-in. And they were trying to decide on a date. They came up with April 22nd because it was kind of in between spring break and finals. And it didn't conflict with any major religious holidays.
Now that's planning.
It is.
It is. See, I figure, you know, they're teachers and stuff. It's like, well, April is month four. And if you take two and add them together, you get four. So 422. There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 22-4.
Yeah. So essentially, they kind of realized that environmental teach-in was probably not the most marketable name, right? So they...
No. I'm trying to think about it. I'm trying to see how we can make environmental teach-in exciting.
It's right.
Like, nope.
Doesn't fit on a poster quite as well. Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Exactly. So there was a gentleman who was a New York-based copywriter and advertiser named Julian Koning, who basically went to Dennis Hayes and said, hey, here are a few different options. You know, environmental teach-in isn't the most marketable name, so let's come up with a few other ideas. He proposed Ecology Day, Environmental Day, just E-Day, and finally Earth Day, which was everyone's favorite. And also, fun little fact, Julian Koning's birthday is April 22nd, And so Earth Day and birthday kind of rhyme. So he liked that little combo there. So yeah, that was kind of where the name Earth Day was born. And they had the first day, Earth Day, in 1970. And since then, it has just absolutely exploded. After that first Earth Day, there were a lot of different things that happened. So we started to see, we saw the creation of the United States Environmental Protection Agency.
Or the EPA.
Yes, the EPA. We saw the Occupational Safety and Health Act, the Clean Air Act.
Or OSHA.
Right. We saw the Clean Water Act shortly afterwards, as well as the Endangered Species Act. So a lot of this kind of like activism and presence that started with Earth Day kind of became the rallying point of a lot of that. And so it was able to promote, you know, all of these different environmentally friendly initiatives at the same time. So it was a really pivotal time in our nation's history.
Sounds groovy.
Yeah, very groovy.
It was back in the 60s.
Exactly.
And then in 1970, they actually made it. So
yeah.
I know there's a lot of people that confuse Earth Day and Arbor Day.
Correct.
It's like Arbor Day is planting a tree, like arbol and arbol. Arbor.
Yeah.
Arbor.
Arboreal, yeah.
Arboreal. Deciduous.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can do a lot of the same things on either day. You're definitely allowed to plant a tree on Earth Day if that's what you want to do.
Are you guys planting a tree on Earth Day?
Fort Polk is. MWR, I believe, is doing a
tree planting
on
Earth Day.
I don't think it's actually on Earth Day. It's not on the 22nd. I want to say that they're doing it on the 18th of April.
Okay.
Sometime that week.
Well, that's cool. But that's MWR.
Yeah.
You're environmental. So, but I do know that you guys have Catfish Derby coming up.
We do.
Yes.
So our Catfish Derby is kind
of... That's popular. I liked it. When I was able to participate, but I can't participate anymore. Because my stepson is too old.
You just have to find a youngin.
Oh, yeah, I know. I could just go over there and with a camera and say, no, I'm here working.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you could do a Fort Polk podcast live from the Catfish Derby and ask little kids about, you know, the fun that they're having.
Oh, the things kids say. If dogfish bark, why don't catfish meow? What? Okay.
That is a very good question. So, yeah, the Catfish Derby is...
Why isn't there a mouse fish?
I don't know.
You have a dogfish, a catfish.
Catfish
need to eat something. Let's get a mouse fish.
You're going to have to ask fish scientists that question.
And then if we had a mouse fish, we'd have to have a cheese fish.
Mm, got to watch out there.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the Catfish Derby is kind of our one of the biggest events that Fort Polk hosts every year. And, you know, Jeff, how long have you worked here?
I am on my 18th year.
So the Catfish Derby...
I've been here quite a while.
...predates you by quite a while, too. The Catfish Derby, I don't know exactly what year we started doing it.
Well, then you can't bring it up. I've been here too long.
But we have been doing the Catfish Derby on Fort Polk for well over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's one of the kind of longest standing events, you know, on Fort Polk, and it's definitely one of the community's favorites. And it is open to the entire community.
No, it's not. It's only open to youths of under 16.
It's open.
It's the catfish. It is the youth catfish pond. That's why they keep kicking me off the lake.
So it is open to the entire community, but yes, only people 15 and under are technically allowed to fish at Catfish Cove.
Boo.
But people 16 and above can help people 15 and under with the fishing.
You know, the last time my stepson and I went fishing there at the Catfish Derby, you know what we caught?
A shoe.
Turtles.
Probably some red-eared sliders.
They kept stealing our bait.
tricky turtles.
They were. They would take, and we caught them. It's like, we caught like two of them. It's like, reel them in. It's like, now how do I get it out of this guy's mouth? And is he going to hurt me if he bites me? See, I get them mixed up with the snapping turtles and stuff because those guys are, the alligator snapping turtles are kind of scary.
Yeah.
They look like Gamora.
they're pretty like.
Gamora. I think it's Gamora.
I always heard Gamora.
Is it? I don't know. The giant turtle that fought Godzilla?
I mean, I don't know one
Gamora.
Way or the other.
I think it was Gamora.
I'll trust you.
I'll have to look it up.
I'll trust you.
Oh, I don't even have my phone in here.
This is prime podcasting content right here.
I know.
Let me Google something real quick.
Well, I see these podcasts online and stuff, and they always have their little computer right in front of them, and they're looking up at, they've got all of this prep material and stuff, and I just come in here, it's like, hey, how's it going? Let's talk. That's going to be the name of the new podcast. Let's talk.
Let's talk.
Let's talk at Fort Johnson.
There you go.
So who knows?
Yep. But yeah, so anybody 15 and under is allowed to fish. 16 and older can help fishing. And even if you're not really interested in the fishing part of it, we have other things at the Catfish Derby as well. We're going to have our environmental outreach booths. We're going to have the famous Mario and Luigi. I think that they're probably the most photographed snakes in all of existence.
If Colonel Smith is going to be there, you know, Mario or Luigi is going to be handled. It's like, here, check it out.
Oh, yeah. I love that about Colonel Smith. Absolutely. I remember we were out there at the change of command when he took command. And, you know, I always love it anytime that someone.
Put it down.
Yeah. Like, and anytime someone is like not afraid of the snakes, I'm so happy. And he was like, oh, look how cool. And then he like took one of the snakes and just like walked to show one of his friends. So it's definitely great to have command support for our favorite little guys. So anybody that doesn't know, Mario and Luigi are our two captive bred Louisiana pine snakes, which is the endangered species, one of the endangered species we have here on Fort Polk.
And they live in islands.
Is that a Super Mario reference you're trying to make?
No, they have little pot or like little areas that they're found in. They're not found everywhere, everywhere widespread. They're found in little batches and groups and stuff.
Yeah. So the Louisiana pine snake range is pretty small as far as most, you know, animal ranges go. They're only found here in West Central Louisiana and a few places in East Texas. But yeah, Fort Polk is one of the healthiest populations of them. And then you know, kind of ecologically, we consider the Peace and Ridge population separate from the main fort. And then there's a place up in Bienville Parish on some Forest Service property that they can be found. But yeah, for the most part, yeah, they're found in just little pockets, little islands.
See, I told you islands. You think I come in here not knowing my stuff? I've talked to you guys before.
You have, but I mean, I'm also just imagining that you're thinking like some tropical island.
No, that's where I want to live. Slightly different. Where'd Jeff go? I don't know. Belize? No, he didn't. He went to an island off a coast of Belize. Slightly different.
But yeah, Mario and Luigi, they are the superstars of Fort Polk, in my humble opinion. I mean,
well, you know, if we were to get some like endangered or dangerous spiders and stuff, then I don't think you would have to worry about many people picking them up and showing them around. Here, check out this brown recluse. Ah!
Yeah, that's true. I got called out to the airfield this week. Not quite the airfield, but one of the buildings close to there, they had a tarantula that they had caught on the outside of their building. So yeah, we actually do have a native tarantula species here in East.
How big are they? Or how big was this one?
It was decent size. It was probably about, 3 inches, including its, you know, its legs there. So yeah, it was a good size.
It's not that big. Have you seen Eight-Legged Freaks?
I have not.
Oh, that's a cool movie. That's a cool movie. That tarantula's huge.
Despite how much I love all of our critters, spiders have always been the one that I try to avoid the most.
And they're not even an insect.
Correct. They're an arachnid.
Ooh, arachnids. Ooh,
crazy.
Hence the name arachnophobia.
Yes.
As opposed to insectophobia. Bugophobia.
Sure, yeah.
They don't call them bugs for nothing. They bug me. Mosquitoes. Ugh. I wish we can get rid of them.
That'd be nice.
It would be nice. I'm sure any animal that relies solely on mosquitoes would find something else to eat.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think so. Except maybe the mosquito fish, but oh well. Some things have to be, I don't know. So Earth Day, is there an environmental month or is it just Earth Day? We're not good enough to have a whole month.
I'm sure that there are probably some people that try to celebrate, you know, for an entire month.
Go green.
Yeah. But, you know, it works out well for us here at Fort Polk because our Catfish Derby takes place during Month of the Military Child. And so not only do we get to kind of promote environmentalism, but we also get to celebrate military children.
April is a very, very popular month.
It is.
Because it's Month of the Military Child, but it's also Autism Awareness Month, Child Abuse Prevention Month, my anniversary.
Oh, my dating anniversary.
My wife's birthday.
Ooh, that's a big one. Can't forget that.
Easter.
Yeah.
Spring weather sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Comes spring break is
around
usually
here. Comes and goes.
Yeah, spring break too. You know, all sorts of stuff.
Passover.
In April. Yeah.
I think Passover. Yeah.
Yeah, I think today is Passover. Yeah, well, today, as in the day we're recording this, not the day it'll be released.
Yeah. True. True. Yeah. So the cat's out of the bag. These are not live.
Ooh, sorry. Did I just break a major? No,
that's why it's called a podcast. You can listen to it anytime you want. So let's see. You've got, okay, Catfish Derby is the big thing coming up, and it should be this coming up Saturday, the week that this is released. So.
Right. It'll be April 22nd at Catfish Cove here on Fort Polk. And
that's at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, technically the fishing will start right at 7 o'clock. We'll have command
tagged
out
and
there,
and you'll have tagged fish in there. And if you catch a tagged fish, you win a special prize. And
yes,
you'll have prizes out there like little fishing poles and in tackle boxes.
Yeah, and other fun stuff.
Are you gonna
like
have fillet demonstrations?
We will. We're gonna have our fillet demonstration. And you know, that's something that tends to get a little confused. We do a fillet demonstration to show folks how to fillet. That
yeah,
doesn't
and then
necessarily
people come up and it's like,
fillet my fish.
Exactly. That doesn't necessarily mean that our poor coworkers are going to have to fillet everybody's fish. That's not what the
intent
is.
That's just not how it works.
It's meant to be educational. I know a lot of people don't necessarily want to.
I did see a command sergeant major get challenged to fillet a fish. It's like, this is how you do it. And
yeah.
Now show us. And he did pretty good.
A few years ago, when I started here, we had Colonel Thomas at the time, and he got out there and was doing it too.
Oh, so. Yeah. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then we'll have a fillet demonstration. We're going to have our outreach booths, Mario and Luigi. We're going to have our botanist out there talking about some of the cool plants. And
those plants. I need to get the botanist in here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I just love your office. It's like every time I go over there, it's something new. It's like, oh, look at this.
We're the fun group.
Yeah. It's like petrified for. Okay. I grew up thinking there was a petrified forest and it was unique and one of a kind. Then I get over here and there's petrified wood in my
everywhere.
Driveway. It's like, what? What is all of this stuff?
Yep.
And then you got, oh, and then we may not have Venus fly traps, but we do have pitcher plants.
We do.
And if I'm not mistaken, I was driving someplace and just saw a whole field of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was on post, but it's like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then it was gone. And now now I'm looking back. It's like, was that a dream? I don't
probably
know.
Probably not. I mean.
My mind wanders and is, I've got the ADD from hell. It's crazy. It's like, I can't remember anything. It's like, if I see something shiny, it's like, what is that? It takes me a month to read a brochure. It's crazy.
But we have pitcher plants
right across the street over there at the golf course is where I saw my first ones.
Yeah, and actually at Catfish Cove, we have a few of them as well.
Oh, it's point not those. Have the botanist have the botanist point those out to people.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like this is an this is a carnivorous plant.
Yeah.
So do not jump inside it.
And, you know, we've done, and I think her intent is to have some that we get from elsewhere on post, not necessarily from Catfish Cove, but have some of them where kids can actually like pull them open and see the insects inside. Ooh. So that's always a fun event for the kiddos.
Now there's another plant. It's called a corpse plant.
Mm,
and that flower. Yeah. That flower grows like 8 feet tall or something. And it smells nasty.
Yeah.
I was trying to explain it to people. Like, no, it attracts flies. Flies is what.
Pretty sure that's not native to here though.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
So, we'll have our botanist. We're also going to have our stormwater team out there, and American Water is going to come out. We're going to have different booth about like wildlife furs and wildlife tracks and skulls. So we really, ooh, we go all out. And
you know what skull you need?
What?
Jackalope. Yeah. I saw a picture of one in the wild.
Oh, you
it
did?
It was a trail cam really late at night. It was cool.
Definitely not doctored picture, right?
No. It was a real picture. It was on the internet. They can't put anything that's not true on the internet.
Mm, Jeff, we might have to have an off-camera talk.
Bonjour. So you got all of these things. Also, another thing that environmental... or your whole shop over there does, I mean, you guys do the heritage cemeteries mm-hmm. that are all over the installation, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of them.
Yeah, we have 23 different cemeteries that the Fort Polk Cultural Resources Office helps maintain and manage. And that's including Army-owned and Forest Service property that makes up Fort Polk.
Yeah, but I see. You also take care of recycling?
We do. Yeah. And that was one of the things that I wanted to kind of talk about as well.
Oh, look at me coming up with all these proper ideas of what to talk about.
Look at Jeff.
Like, yeah. The recycling center.
True professional.
I've done a lot of work with the recycling center, too.
What kind of work have you done with them?
Spots, commercials.
Nice.
I'll have to show you some of them sometimes. They're fun.
So, yeah. And that's actually a great segue. So one of the wonderful things about our installations recycling center. And that's what I'm going to call it. It's also known as the QRP, which stands for Qualified Recycling Program.
Yeah. Why is it qualified?
Because it's qualified because it meets these certain standards to be considered like an actual.
Oh, I thought it was quality. Yeah. I learn something new every day.
Well, looky there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so and this is something that I think a lot of folks don't know, but our QRP, our recycling program, funds a lot of these amazing activities that go on Fort Polk, these quality of life initiatives and whatnot.
But can the QRP actually buy fireworks?
Yes, it can.
Sweet.
Yeah, did you know?
Yes.
That the absolute, well, more the listener than you, Jeff.
Yeah, all of my listener.
The fireworks show at Freedom Fest, that is funded by your recycling dollars. So you as the Fort Polk community, you know, if you recycle, that funds these amazing events that go on, and not just like Freedom Fest, and it pays for the Catfish Derby as well, but also,
and this year Freedom Fest is going to be Salute to the Troops.
Oh, nice.
Salute to the Troops. It's going to be held, before July. I think it's either May. I think it's in May.
Oh, okay.
And
so is it not going to be called Freedom Fest
no.
this year? Oh, okay.
No, because, it'd be hard to be a 4th of July festival if it's in May or June. So they want to do it so we can get max participation out of everyone, you know, all the soldiers that are here at Fort Polk.
Right.
And if we do it on the 4th of July or somewhere around there, they're all on block leave. So mm-hmm. It's like, oh, let's make it better.
Okay, great. Well, then, yeah. So the Salute to the Troops, the fireworks show there will be funded by the QRP, by your recycling dollars. And there's also the Riches to Recycling program. So each units it's like a competition. So the more recycling a unit brings in, if they say they're with a specific unit, they'll be weighed the recycling that they bring in. And it can, if you win the competition, it brings money to your unit that you can use essentially almost however you want. I'm not going to say however you want, but
That can open the door to a bunch of bad things. It's like, let's buy everybody lunch.
So, yeah, the Fort Polk Recycling Center currently accepts white paper, mixed paper. And so mixed paper is anything like newspaper, cardstock, like for me, Diet Dr. Pepper boxes.
But it will not accept pizza boxes.
Will not accept pizza boxes, right. And that's because
there's oil and grease that go into the pizza boxes.
Exactly. So sometimes if you have the top of your pizza box that doesn't have any oil or grease stains on it.
Just cheese.
And then cardboard, so that's kind of under that. They also, something a lot of people don't know is that our recycling center takes used cooking and motor oil. Yeah, so you can take it there so you don't have to dump it down the drain, which is not good for anything
unless it's hot bacon grease, and then you pour it down a fire ant hill. And yeah.
This message is not environmental office approved.
Do not try it at home.
And then obviously aluminum cans, number one, plastics, lead acid batteries, used ink and toner cartridges. And then we also have a restore at the QRP. So if you have any extra office supplies that you don't really need anymore, you can take it to the QRP and it's available for anyone to go and pick up, as long as it's for, you know, official, like kind of government business.
Well, of course, it's like I've seen over in the restore, I've seen 3-ring binders, mm-hmm. and the sectionals for the for filing cabinets, mm-hmm. and paper and toner and
file folders. And
yeah,
there's it's a really great resource for sure.
Did a spot on that too.
Look at you, Jeff.
So I know all about the restore too.
18 years being at Fort Polk. You've learned a thing
and
or two.
No one's seen my work. It's like, what does he do over there all day? I actually had a comment on Facebook. I did a video for the commissary during the pandemic, mm-hmm. and one of the comments is, "Who's Jeff England?" The guy in the video. It's like, thanks for watching.
I tend to have the moniker Snake Lady, which is probably my favorite nickname I've ever had.
So were you in the House of Slytherin?
I'm actually not. I consider myself a Hufflepuff, but I greatly appreciate Slytherin House and all serpents.
Do you speak Parseltongue?
No, I don't.
Ah, sorry.
But, I mean, I do feel like I have a connection with Mario and Luigi both, and that they understand me and I understand them.
I like
it's
Yoshi.
It's completely just in my mind, but
that's what you need. You need a Yoshi.
A turtle. Name it
no, that'd be
Bowser.
Bowser, yeah. No, you need Yoshi.
I'll have to look into that.
Or a gecko.
A gecko.
Oh, gecko. You can call him Martin.
Martin?
Yes. That's the name of the Geico gecko.
Is it really?
Yep.
I had no idea that he had a name.
Yep.
I thought he was just Geico Gecko.
Nope. He has a name.
Well, looky there. Learn yep. something new every
the
day.
Trivia. I am a plethora of useless knowledge. Do you know who first voiced that gecko?
I do not.
It was Frasier.
Oh.
What's his name?
Kelsey.
Grammer.
Grammer, yeah.
Kelsey Grammer. He was the first voice.
Huh. Well, that's funny because he's not even British.
Nope. Nope. The voice wasn't British at all. Huh. And it's not necessary. And the gecko's not even necessarily British. Mm-hmm. They've asked him, where is he from?
He doesn't say.
Just generic. It's funny. Generic. I think it's Boston.
Mm. No.
But, oh, what about horses? Do you guys have, you don't have any horses over there?
No, we don't keep any horses.
So you have a snake, but no horse.
Yeah, we have two snakes, and that's pretty much it. I also have a bunch of dead critters in jars.
Ooh.
But as far as live critters, we just got Mario and Luigi.
Oh, you need more live critters.
I would love it. Considering the alligator snapping turtle is, it's been petitioned to be added to the endangered species list.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was that endangered.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because here in Louisiana, there's still technically like a hunting season for the alligator snapping turtle. They got rid of the commercial hunting season for it, but there's still like a personal...
That's what you can have over there.
I want an alligator snapping turtle
and a nutria.
I don't know about that one.
You could have your own little zoo.
I would love that.
That would be so cool. We could have it and we could open it up right next to the museum.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, they say that you got to like dress for the job you want, not the job you have. I'm going to just start dressing as Steve Irwin.
I got in trouble for coming to work as Batman. Mm. Yes, hey, just for the job you want.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, one of these days I'll have like an entire zoo of animals, it'd of cool. critters. Yeah.
And I think it'd be cool, you know, have the local ones, and all you would have to do is put up a box. Just put up a tree box for and say, oh, that's our red cockaded woodpecker. You never have to show it to anybody. It's like, oh, can we take a look inside? Nope, you're not allowed to do
there's
that.
A hole in the tree. That's just trust me.
That's where it is.
Exactly.
Then bring out one that has nothing to do with like a toucan or something.
Right.
If you see one of these in the wild, do not mess with it. He's after your Fruit Loops.
Oh, man. But yeah, absolutely. You know, there's so many different ways that people can get involved in Earth Day. And, you know, specifically, like we talk about wildlife, one of the best things that people can do, and this is something not a lot of people are aware of, but purchasing a hunting license or a fishing license really goes a long way for wildlife conservation. For specifically with hunting license, there's something called the Pittman-Robertson Act, or Robinson. I could be wrong, but it's an excise tax. So the proceeds from the sale of hunting equipment and hunting licenses go directly to wildlife conservation.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's something that's really cool that a lot of people can do. Again, hunting licenses.
The biggest licenses. Conservationists are hunters.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They go out there. It's like they help control the population. A lot of people say we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. It's like, could you imagine if we weren't to touch this species that reproduces way too much, they would get so overpopulated that they would eat everything they could, which would leave no food, which would lead to mass starvation, which would lead to mass die off and stuff like this. And
right.
It's just the whole chain reaction and how everything works together is just, it's just amazing.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, we are kind of inextricably linked from that, you know, we're part of our natural ecosystem. And, so being a predator isn't necessarily a bad thing. There are a lot of predators.
Well, you need a predator. See? And it's like vegetarians, predating the plants. Mm-hmm. Poor little plants.
I know. They're so sad.
Why don't we need something that will eat kudzu?
That would be nice.
Oh yeah. That's everywhere. That just takes off. Oh.
Yeah, that's one of the things too that
invasive species.
Yeah, invasive species are a big problem. We actually have an invasive species specialist who works within environmental.
Oh yeah,
who's tasked with trying to make sure that we address all of the invasive species that are.
Do you know any invasive species?
Oh Lord, too many.
Like what around here?
Chinese tallow tree is one of the biggest ones.
But that produces
here.
So much honey.
And, you know, honey could probably be produced even without tallow.
Yeah,
tree.
It can, but that one produces a lot.
But yeah, Chinese tallow tree is a big one. There's different privets. And
what's a privet?
Kind of it looks like yaupon, if you're familiar with that.
Yoplait? Yaupon?
Yaupon.
What is yaupon? It sounds like Japan in Spanish. Where are you from? Yaupon.
So, yeah, privet and yaupon are basically little shrubs with tiny little leaves on them. They're popular to see around places. And even like the Bradford or Callery pears that are around the installation, those are non-native species. So we definitely like to promote, you know, even with these tree plantings that we do, we try to promote having native species.
When your office plants some trees, what kind do they usually plant?
So depending on where it is, some of our favorites that are native and also really pretty are the flowering dogwood and the eastern redbud.
Are those the ones that like bloom white up and down the road?
The ones that you probably see up and down like entrance road, Those are the Bradford pear.
Oh, okay.
But if you like go kind of out in the box and you see these big, their flowers are like four petals to each flower on the dogwoods, and they're big and white and pretty.
Oh, cool.
And then the Eastern red buds, those are usually what you first see. They're kind of the first signs of spring around here. They have these like little purple flowers that pop out.
I probably have seen those.
Yeah, I guarantee you have. Yeah.
You probably.
But yeah, so those two are very popular. And then like our longleaf pine, that's what a lot of our ecosystem here out in the training area is. So anytime like up on the new lands, we're trying to establish longleaf pine savanna there. So whenever it was purchased, a lot of it was loblolly pine plantations. And so it's been trying to convert to.
Now I have some land. I have some land that it was all loblolly, and I had to bulldoze the whole thing so I could see where to put my house. So now I got these nice big fields that I would love to be able to raise animals on, but I'm old and broken. So it's a lot of work. If I wanted to get, conservationists or environmental, would they come out and plant like longleaf pines on my property, or is that something I'd have to pay for?
So there are definitely different initiatives. None of environmental here on post, we're restricted to, post to, our reinforced service lands. But I can probably get you some contacts with different foresters in the area, and there's different conservation initiatives that will help with like longleaf pine planting and stuff like that. So we can get you that information.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. Yeah. But I am by no means a tree hugger, but I do love the environment and environmental. I love the job that you guys do over there. And
that's, that's something else that I wanted to kind of mention is, we think of Earth Day and there's a little bit of like kind of hippie, if you will, overtones to it,
The hippie dippy weatherman.
But, being involved in the great outdoors is something for really everybody. There's so much value to just spending time outside. And I know, especially with our youth today, it's so easy. There's so many great distractions inside. There's, your Xbox, your PlayStation, your phone. It's easy to just spend all your time inside. But that's really what we want with the Catfish Derby, is to provide an easy opportunity for families to spend time together making memories outdoors. And if, specifically with the Catfish Derby, even if you're not really familiar with how to fish, even as a parent, we have folks that will be out there that can give advice, and catfishing is pretty easy, especially in a pond that was stocked with,
catfish.
1,000 pounds of catfish.
Now, here's some advice. I do have advice for everybody that wants to go out to do the Catfish Derby. Bring your fishing pole and a tackle box. You want some extra hooks and some extra string and blah, blah, blah. But what a lot of people might forget is bait. Mm-hmm. So be sure to get bait. Now, I recommend using a treble hook, which is the 3-prong hook. Get like some pantyhose or stockings or something, and buy a bucket of chicken livers. And then you just make a little bag and hook, and then put the treble hook through the bag and fill the bag with the
chicken liver.
With the chicken livers. And that way the chicken liver stays on, and it's a really good bait.
Yeah, a lot of people will use chicken liver. I've also seen people put chicken heart like in with chicken liver, so it kind of absorbs that smell, but the heart stays on a hook easier
than
the liver does.
Liver falls apart. That's why I use the stocking.
Yeah. There's also commercial bait that you can buy at Walmart that's like stink bait.
I did the stink bait. It wasn't as good as the liver.
I believe it. And some people will use hot dogs. Some people will use corn. I mean, listen, catfish will eat a lot of different things.
Yes, they will. So, they'll eat anything.
So, and we usually bring out we still want folks to bring their own equipment and whatnot, but we will have extra bait and, you know, hooks and bobbers and stuff like that.
But that's awesome.
And yeah, we have a ton of prizes. We have freebies that we give away. We have t-shirts that everyone will get, every kid will get. I just ordered a few different like goodie bags for everyone. So it's a really great event. MWR will be providing some sort of food.
And music.
Yeah.
It's a good time. I say bring everybody out. Bring your kids out. Have a good day. Spend the day at Catfish Cove on Saturday and have a wonderful day. Amy Brennan from the Environmental Office, thank you for coming in.
You're so welcome.
I love it when you guys come in. I am Jeff England. You've been listening to the Fort Polk Podcast, and please subscribe to our channel and be sure to leave a comment or whatever in the sections below or however you get our podcast, and we'll be listening to you at another time. See yous.